Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
It's the Mitchin Podcast.
Rolling.
All right, sweet. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mitchin, a podcast about food in a world without restaurants. My name is Andrew Levins, and joining me today is my co-host, Mitchell Orr.
Good afternoon, Andrew Levins.
It might be morning to somebody somewhere.
Well, to me, it's afternoon, so that's all that counts.
Okay, very important. And this is the first time that Mitchin has ever been part of a network. I have a bunch of other podcasts that are now all under the one banner of Sans Pants Radio. So, Hey Fam, Serious Issues, All the Small Games, and The Mitchin are all over at Sans Pants Radio, which is a Melbourne-based, mostly comedy podcast network. And they were like, yeah, we need some less funny ones on there. Let's get The Mitchin. one of the other podcasts that we love and hosted by one of our favorite people. Have you been on The Mitchin before, Alexi?
This is my first time and I'm freaking out.
Damn.
I've listened to every episode, but this is my first time speaking on it.
You cut yourself into... You have like Alexi edits of every episode of The Mitchin where you just like join in.
It's easy to listen to every episode when there's only 10.
Yeah, dude, I just fucking mainline them, dude. I've heard all of them.
So that is Alexi Taliopoulos. He's the host of Total Reboot, Mic Check, and Finding Drago. Two of those three podcasts are on Sans Pants as well. So this is our Welcome to the Network episode featuring fellow Sans Pantser, even though we've known each other long before the time of podcast networks.
I would say that the two of you are like two of my closest friends in this day and age. So it's very weird to have like an official introduction when I just probably talk to both of you every single day.
Yeah. But look, I mean, we don't want to turn this podcast into like this depressing like restaurant news update during the most depressing time for restaurants in history.
Oh, we don't?
So we're going... Mitch, I mean, I know that's your forte. So.
we got to get Mitch ranting. We got to get Mitch ranting. That I need to hear it.
You can have Mitch's soapbox at the top of the episode if you want, Mitch. But we've got Alexi on here because Alexi hosts, like I said before, Total Reboot, which is a film podcast. Alexi is... he hosts... Not including the three I've already spoken about. I think at least one more, and produces another podcast as well. So I think that's five all up. They're all film-based podcasts. Mm-hmm. He's the David Stratton of podcasting.
No, I'm Margaret, dude. I'm Margaret Podcast, dude. Margaret Podcast. That's what I want to be known as.
So we thought we would do an episode, given that so many of us are cooking our own food, doing takeaway, spending a lot of time in front of the television. We thought we would talk about movies about foods, movies about restaurants, movies about cooking. There are some good ones out there, and we have film expert Alexi to help us navigate the good ones and the bad ones.
So Alexi already put a whole list together on Letterboxd, prepared than anyone's ever been for this podcast.
Well, I didn't want to come empty-handed, dude. I wanted to get ready for you guys.
I just wanted you to riff off the top, bro.
Yeah, it's the first time someone sent me a letterboxed link. as like a like here's the work I've done.
Yeah, here's the work I've done 1 hour after you asked me to do it. I did it straight away, dude. I've got nothing else on. And I watched two food movies today in preparation.
That's incredible. I ate food and mourned the fact that I can't watch movies during the day anymore in preparation.
Oh, God.
Before we get into our lists, Mitch, do you want to give a little update on your current situation? Your restaurant Chichibella, where your head chef is now doing takeaway setups.
Yep. So Thursday to Sunday, we're doing takeaway meal packs like everybody else, I guess, and also doing some takeaway like fresh pasta and pasta sauces and a couple other bits and pieces. So you can check that out on the website, chichibella.com.au. Icebergs is also doing a few different events. So on Saturday this week, we're doing an ice burger event, which I think is the best burger in the city, not being biased at all. And then there's also some stuff happening with Biennale and Icebergs because Mozzie is very involved with Biennale. So Icebergs is doing a couple of dinner packs to sort of match with the online stuff that Biennale is doing, which is pretty cool as well. So you can go to the Icebergs website to check all that stuff out too.
And how has it been? Like, what are the challenges putting together takeaway packs compared to making people meals?
I think the sort of biggest challenge is because we're just sort of trying to keep everyone on their JobKeeper hours, is the challenge of balancing the man, like the labor with what we're trying to put out and that kind of thing. So that's kind of the challenge. And then sort of just get the word out, you know, Bondi being Bondi, it's quite a tight community and it's kind of hard to get to by public transport. So I don't think too many people are coming from outside of Bondi, and a lot of places in Bondi have stayed open. So, you know, we're sort of just finding our feet and finding out what our customers want and what we can give them and how to best engage with them and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it might take a little while, but we're pretty, you know, we know we offer a good product and a good package at a good price. So, you know, hopefully it kicks off and, you know, we're just sort of doing what we can because every little bit helps a business survive at the end of the day.
I think as well with what you guys are doing with like the take home, like assemble yourself packs are really, it's really good because it offers you something different from just like a takeaway or from like the restaurant experience. So in the meantime, it's kind of like taking a notice of people wanting to cook more at home and then giving them like a higher quality product than that, than what they would be doing by themselves, but also differentiating it so that they can have the same taste. But when they come back to the restaurant, it's like that experience again that they've been missing, but it differentiates it all from everything else.
Yeah. Well put.
What's it like trying to like kind of understand the level of skill that your customers have when it comes to cooking? Have you got to like...
Well, we're trying to make it as easy as possible. So it's pretty much the sauce is ready to go and you're just heating it up and maybe emulsifying some butter into it before you throw your pasta into your sauce. So it's really quite simple. We're not saying, I know there's a lot of packs out there that are quite involved in the cooking and really take you through step by step, you know, but we're sort of like, we know you're not necessarily in a rush because you've got work or whatever. Maybe you've got kids that have been driving you fucking nuts all day and you just need to bang something together real quickly. So you can just sort of reheat the sauce, cook the pasta, dress a salad and reheat some focaccia and you're ready to go.
It's not like HelloFresh. I did it in like under 5 minutes. When Mitch came and brought me one of the packs and I did it really fast and I was like, oh, wow, this was easier than I expected. So, you know, anyone can do it, even though I'm actually quite skilled in the kitchen. So I could have done more if you'd left it to me, but...
Where's my pack, Mitch? Drive out this way. It's only an hour back and forth. Hour round trip.
It was hard enough going to Alexi, bro. Far out.
I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you at Alexi's house next time.
You have to have the incentive of another restaurant being open next door to my house.
Yeah. It was like, if I go give this to Alexi, I can also go and see my good friend Manny at Fish at Petersham and get dinner from Fish at Petersham. So it was like a two birds, one stone kind of scenario.
And I was proud to be one of those birds getting stoned, brother.
Alexi, have there been any takeaway experiences over the last couple of weeks for you that you want to shout out as a highlight?
Oh, yeah. I would give a huge shout out like Mitch just did to Fish and Petersham. It is such a great restaurant, and they've done really well at bringing like their like a la carte in menu restaurant menu to the takeaway as well, and so just their regular takeaway fare. That's been really good. Silver's has just opened up again. We've been without charcoal chicken and Petersham for the entire pandemic because Frango's and Silver's have just have been closed the entire time. But Silver's just opened back up, so that's probably what we'll be having tonight. And a big shout out to my favorite Gyros shop in Sydney, Sticks and Pitta in Enmore. I will probably get that like twice a week at the moment because it's so good and it tastes just, it's the best. I've had many passionate conversations with people, you included, Levens, of what the best Gyros place in Sydney is. And I will tell you right now, it is Sticks and Pitta. I will go on the record. I will hold my hand on my heart. And I will say this proudly because they make everything.
Alexi just took his shirt off and he's got a Greek flag tattooed over his chest.
Across his chest.
It's very big.
Skull chains and chest hair.
Yeah. If you can see it beneath the chest hair, that's how good the tattoo is, dude. They use fucking glow-in-the-dark ink so it can peer through. But it's like, it's what they do, like, everything's made, like, the pitas they make fresh every day, it's gorgeous. The charcoal, everything on charcoal is stunning. They do the best wings as well in town because it's just, like, these awesome Greek-style charcoal wings. But they also have, like, the pitas. They have the traditional type, which is, like, the tzatziki with the chips and the tomato and onion. But then they also have, like, they kind of, like, some more inventive ones, but it's still very, like, Greek flavors instead of trying to do the stuff that freaking George Kalambaris and Zeus Greek Street were trying to do, or putting like mustard and stuff in them. It's still like, you know, they've got like white tiramisu with like baked truss tomatoes and like feta dip as the basis. So it's really, really good stuff, but all really authentic Greek flavors, but just kind of like hipping them up a little bit.
Yeah, man. We'll have to go. We'll have to go there together, Lexi. I haven't been there. I'd love to go.
Yes, I can't wait. You would love it, dude. You'd flip.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, Gyros is dope. So now we have a menu of food. Let's set some entertainment. Let's go through our favorite movies about food, restaurants, and cooking. Mitch, you want to kick it off with one of your favorites? Actually, let's kick off with like the because Alexi, you know, sent us a list of like 20 something movies.
Yeah,
and then Mitch was like, this cryptic like riddle of his favorite one that he couldn't remember.
That's where I'll start.
For sure. You sent us, the way that you told us was like the guy from Oz, the Latino
the
guy
Hispanic
from Oz.
Guy from Oz.
And I knew straight away. I knew that was
Kirk Acevedo.
You knew
who it was straight away, didn't you?
Because yeah. I loved Oz so much when I was
watching
high school.
Me too. Oz was phenomenal.
And I had the biggest crush on this guy. I thought this guy was so cool. And he's never been in anything else, but I knew the name immediately, like, da-da-da-da-da. But then Levens found it before me, because I think he knew what you were talking about.
So, yeah, so the movie that I was talking about is Dinner Rush. I saw it a long time ago when I was quite young. Maybe I only just started cooking, and I think maybe I happened to see it on Foxtel just randomly or something like that. And I haven't watched it in a long time, but it's one that really... It still sticks with me. And the way I sort of described it to Lexi and Levs today was, obviously, it stars a Hispanic actor who was also in Oz. And one of the big scenes is he cooks a lobster dish with fried spaghetti and like a vanilla-flavored champagne sauce or something. And at the time, I was like, holy fuck, this is phenomenal. Like, look at the way he's frying that spaghetti. He's putting vanilla in a sauce. Like, this is crazy. And I think, so that scene is always stuck in the back of my head. But I think also just the kinetic energy of the movie, it shows the sort of adrenaline and all that kind of thing that's involved in a restaurant. The energy in the front of house, in the dining room, and the ambience and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of talk about the art on the walls and all that kind of stuff as well. And then the energy in the kitchen and the play in between the kitchen staff and the stress and all that kind of stuff is shown really well. So that's really why I like it. And actually, I want to rewatch it as well. I haven't watched it in a long time, but yeah, it's one that really sticks with me.
So the whole movie is on YouTube if anyone wants to watch it. I've looking up trivia from it, like Leonard Maltin, the famous film critic, he put it in his book, 151 Best Movies You've Never Seen. And it actually is one of the most positively rated food movies of all time.
Wow.
It's really, really good. I chucked it on today, and I like straight away, I was like, this is a winner. This is like within 10 minutes.
You've never seen it before, like, Lex.
Dude, I'd never even fucking heard of it before. I'd never even heard of the director, Bob Giraldi. I'm looking him up today. He directed the Beat It music video. He's mainly done like music videos and short films. That's the kind of like, and like commercials and stuff. He likes short form. And he's made very few feature length films, but I think like watching this, I'm like, oh, this makes so much sense that this guy's like a music video director and a short form director, because this film has like the layer, like the way that it's structured is in this like really cool, that type of New York movie that you love, where it's that one night in New York, one night, one location. Mm. And there's so many great movies like in that tradition, but to see applied to like a food movie like this, in a restaurant. I think this is one of the best restaurant movies because, like you said, it gets like so many good things about like the kitchen and the dining and everything. But the way they incorporates it is like there's like five or six stories going on in this movie, but they all have like the same trajectory, and it captures that stress like the way that something like an Uncut Gems does, where it's like amping up the stress. It's got a crime element to it as well. But like there's like four or five dining tables at the restaurant that we're all involved in each one of the stories. But then we're also involved in the stories of the wait staff that are looking after those tables. We're involved in the stories in the kitchen. We're involved in the stories at the bar, and the involved in stories like in the back of the house as well, with like the management and everything. So it captures like all this like multifaceted layering to how this business works and how this night works. And it is so freaking good and so cool. And I think the way that this guy coming from like this music video short form background, it kind of captures like these little vignettes between them and then is able to intersect them in a really good way. But the performances are great. Danny Aiello is the lead as the restaurateur.
Yeah, he's really good too. Yeah.
I just love him. Rest in peace, brother. He passed away last year. We love you. We appreciate you, Danny Aiello. Thank
sadly, we did lose Danny Aiello.
Tragically, we lost Danny Aiello. It's an absolute tragedy, but you know, we can be happy that we've got his movies.
100%.
Not only did Bob Giraldi direct like numerous music videos before this movie, including, you mentioned Beat It, but he also did the iconic Lionel Richie video clip Hello.
Oh my god, with the clay face.
Yeah, that's right. And Love Is a Battlefield by Pat Benatar. Iconic video clips. But the reason that the connection to food comes through so well in his movie is that he actually was a restaurant owner. And in the early 90s, he opened several New York restaurants, including Jojo, Mercer Kitchen, Prime, Vong, and Gigino Trattoria. So,
these are all beautiful names.
Yeah, totally. The last restaurant he opened in 2002, he joined forces with restaurateur Luigi Commandatore to open the Tuscan eatery Bread Tribeca, and then his final restaurant was Diablo Royale, a taqueria in the West Village.
These are like James Bond villains.
Yeah, great names. That's amazing. Great names.
Now, I think this one's a real winner. I really, really enjoyed it. Like honestly, straight away, this would be at the top of my list as well of restaurant movies. Mitch, I'd be curious, have you ever tried to replicate the lobster vanilla champagne sauce?
I actually never. It sort of pops up into my head every, you know, every couple of years or something. I go, oh, fuck. I think about the movie and I think about that scene. I'm like, maybe I should try it. And I never do because I think I need to go and watch it again and sort of study how it's shown in the movie so I can sort of reverse engineer it to try it. But I actually think that it could work. You know, I don't think it's that outlandish that you couldn't actually make the flavors and stuff that he uses into a nice dish. So it is something that I always think, fuck, I need to try that out. But I haven't watched the movie in so long, so
the way he fries the pasta is so dope too.
Yeah, it's such a good piece of filming, like this... and yeah.
Yeah, it looks like the entire scene kind of crawling out of it. It looks so weird. Like it's got all this height to it.
Yeah.
If you Google Dinner Rush lobster scene, that in itself is just on its own on YouTube if you want a taste of the movie before committing. But yeah, like definitely one at the top of our list, which is cool. Alexi, have you got one that you want to pass to next?
Yeah, this is one that I'm fairly new to. I probably saw it a couple of years ago when it had like some screenings at Golden Age in Sydney. And it's the movie, it's a documentary about Los Angeles food. It's called City of Gold. And it's, of course, about Jonathan Gold, the food critic and food writer, who's like, you know, he passed away a couple of years ago, but he's like an absolute treasure of a man. He's such a sweet guy. And this is such a beautiful documentary about him and about the city that he loves and lives in, and the city that he's helped like bring the food culture to like this new level, but in a way that's so... Like, the way that he talks about food and the way he writes about food, I find him very inspirational as, like, a critic myself, because it's all about, like, you know, he doesn't like to, like, shit on things. Like, he's never written, like, one of those, like, classic venomous reviews that is made to go viral or made to sell things, but it's all about, like, if he eats at a restaurant and he doesn't like it, he won't write a review. It's all about, like, bringing people's attention to, like, really good quality food, and a lot of the time, most of the time, it's about bringing people's attention to like ethnic food in Los Angeles that are like small, like mom and pop restaurants. Like, there's this beautiful story about him at this Thai restaurant. Do you know what it's called, Mitch?
I think it's Jitlada, maybe.
Yeah,
there's some really good episodes of the Chef Show. I think is a good episode the Jonathan Gold tribute episode of the Chef Show, and I'm pretty sure it's the same lady from the same restaurant is also
Same lady.
Jitlada, Jitlada.
And our good friend Lou Dog is also good friends with the people from that restaurant and raves about it as well.
Yeah, and it's just like it's really good at capturing like what he does and what he is, but more importantly, like what his heart is and what he stands for. And of course, it's like got gorgeous food, but it's all about like I think there's never been like a food movie or food documentary that's been as successful as like. As doing stuff like Anthony Bourdain would do, like show you like, oh, this is what the food of this city is like, as this documentary is, where it like kind of shows like, this is what this city is, but through the eyes of this one man who's like got so much passion for it. And then that's on DocPlay. If you haven't seen it, it's on DocPlay, Australian streaming service right now. That's just documentaries. They've got some other really good food documentaries on there, like Jiro James of Sushi and El Bui and stuff like that. But,
Tokyo Fish Market documentary on there as well, which is really, really worth watching too, just before they moved the location of that. I noticed that City of Gold, that's the only food doco that made your list, Alexi. Have you watched some clunkers?
Well, not clunkers, but that was the one that really stood out. Like, you know, you could put like so many others on there.
I think that's must-watch viewing. You know, if you're interested in food at all, or if you're interested in writing and journalism or criticism, Jay Gold is like a legend. You know what I mean? He's an icon, and the things that he did for food in LA cannot be understated. It's a really touching and a really amazing film to watch.
Absolutely.
I think it's so rare that you see a food documentary that is just celebrating food and people within food. So often it's like, we're going to uncover the truth behind what we eat. And, you know, this industry is bad and this industry is bad. And that's important, sure. But it's like, you know, not a feel-good food movie.
And also it's like, it's not trying to uncover that dark side, but it's also not like trying to create a narrative in there, which I think a lot of documentaries, like even observational documentaries, like that's the instinct to do is like, what's the narrative in there? We've got to find that one defining moment in this person's life while we're filming them. But because not doing that, it's a portrait documentary. It's just trying to, like, the whole narrative is just showing you this man. But I think, like, it's not a clunker, but there's a food documentary that Levin showed me last year that I loved. It was so fun watching it with you. It's a documentary called Sandwiches You Will Like.
You Will Like. That's right. And it's part of a series of direct-to-television, public access television documentaries made in... This one was made in 2003. Over the course between like late 90s and mid-2000s, this guy Rick Seaback for WQED in... where is he? It's somewhere in middle America.
Chicago is my guess, like in Illinois.
Yeah, but he basically does like these food documentaries. He made one called Hot Dog Story. He's done an ice cream one. He's done a burger one, Burger America. and it's just him traveling around America and talking to all these different people that that make you know, regional specific foods. And the sandwiches that you will like is him just basically eating as many different kind of sandwiches. You've got like a tripe sandwich, an Elvis style sandwich, then you have like a French dip, Italian beef. You have like barbecue sandwiches from the south. You've got po' boys and muffalettas from New Orleans. You know, pastrami sandwich from Katz's Deli is in there. Banh mi's are in there. And like you learn about different like, you know, migrant culture and the way that affects food in America.
Yeah.
And it's really, really hokey. And but there's a real charm to it. Like he's just clearly like this guy that like finds these amazing things and wants to share them with everyone as wholesomely as possible.
It's like a historical document that he's assembling, like this great like American quilt of like all the sandwiches across all of America. And there's some in there that like will blow your mind, you've never heard of. And there's some in there that I'm like, I never want to imagine what that tastes like. There's one that we watched that was like from a Chinese takeaway store that is like, I couldn't even describe it to you. Like it seemed... Do you remember what it was, Lev? It was like...
it's called a St. Paul sandwich from St. Louis. And what it is a... it's a egg foo young patty. So like a patty of onions and cabbage and carrot deep fried. And then they serve it on a... on like a two pieces of white bread with this really thick slice of tomato, iceberg lettuce and cheap mayonnaise, and then like mammy seasoning. Yeah, like it's pretty hectic. It didn't look very appetizing, but
yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's a wild sandwich.
But it's all presented with the same amount of enthusiasm as like, you know, the far more appetizing sandwiches. It's cool.
Really cool. Like it's such a... I think it's all up on YouTube as well, but it's a really like fascinating look at it.
Yeah, and definitely look up that dude Rick Seaback. He's done tons of like you know, bizarre documentaries over the years. He's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania,
and oh, he's just
like this like big happy big like, you know, food loving guy who's been making public access television documentaries since 1988, and he published one last year as well. He put out 4 documentaries last year.
Whoa.
So he's still doing it.
Fuck, what a ledge. Seaback.
Yeah, so good. Moving on.
Back to me?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, well, we won't talk about it. It's another one that's on Alexi's list. Obviously, you can't talk about food movies without talking about Jon Favreau's classic Chef. But instead of talking about...
I've never
about,
seen
I'll
this
just,
one.
I'll just say go and listen to the episode of Total Reboot that I did on Chef with Alexi, and then also the follow-up about the Bollywood version of Chef as well, so that you can check them both out in the back catalogue of Total Reboot. But I think the next one we can't not talk about is Goodfellas.
Oh, my yeah. God, dude. My God, did you just see my eyes light up?
You know,
I didn't know you boys had heard of Martin Scorsese's masterpiece, Goodfellas.
Finally, we can talk about it. We can do it.
It's no Avengers Endgame, but you know, Marty knows a thing or two about making a movie. So you know,
dude,
obviously,
you're on the right side of history, Mitch. You're on the right side of history in this argument. Thank you so much for joining me against Levin's the comic book nerd, saying Scorsese is the king.
You know, it's an amazing food movie, even though it's not. It's a gangster and a drug movie, but it's such an amazing food movie. From the scenes in bars and restaurants to the iconic, you know, slicing the garlic with the razor blade in jail and making your tomato sauce scene, that, you know, like we made Acme t-shirt with that, a picture of the garlic being sliced with the razor blade on the back of it as like the final shirt that we made for Acme. And I had people come and say, oh, what's on the back of that shirt? So, you know, maybe some people still don't know about Goodfellas, but it's Alexi, you go, you do your thing on it, man, because you'll do it better than me.
No, I loved hearing you talk about it because I would agree that this is one of the best food movies ever. And, you know, it's one of those things that's like, it could, I think that Like, Henry Hill, the subject of Goodfellas, when he went into witness protection, spoilers for fucking one of the most famous movies of all time, that's based on a real life story, that's also quite famous, but Henry Hill, when he went into witness protection, he became a chef in, like, the town that he moved to, became an Italian chef. And I, having, like, watching the movie and knowing that, it's so interesting to understand, to recontextualize him as a character, because food is part of the movie the entire way through. Like, he, that's what the details that he focuses on. It's not like him going like, oh, I can't wait to kill this guy, or I want to, like, I want to fuck my wife, I want to fuck my mistress. It's not like all about the drugs. It's all about, like, oh, you're seeing, like, him in the prison. It's food that he's focusing on. When it's like, when he's having his, like, huge crisis moment, when he thinks, like, the FBI are after him, and like, you know, following him in helicopters and stuff. It's all about, like, making sure the sauce doesn't stick, and, like, teaching his, like, his brother, like, to keep the sauce moving and stuff. And I think
don't let the meatballs burn.
Exactly. It, like, gives you a recipe for everything, like, as it's happening. It's, like, so beautiful, the way that he does that.
He released a cookbook, right?
He's got a cookbook. I bought it for Cameron James for his birthday this year. The Henry Hill, I think it's called, like, The Wise Guy's Cookbook. And he's passed away now, but the cookbook is, like, really good.
Amazing.
It's like, I would say it's as good as Wise Guy, the book that he wrote that became Goodfellas. but also,
is it as good as Scorsese's Mum cookbook?
That's what I've got right here. I've got Scorsese's Mum wrote a cookbook, like, after Goodfellas, called Italian American. And
she's in Goodfellas, right?
She's in Goodfellas.
She cameos in that scene. Yeah,
yeah. She plays
the pasta scene. She's Mum.
That's that's her, and she fucking.
That's one of my favorite scenes as well.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite scenes.
It's one of the best dining scenes. And she, so she, like, she, you know, she's been a big part of, like, Marty's movies and stuff. And this cookbook is all, like, talking about, like, how important food was to them, and, like, keeping their heritage as Italian Americans and stuff. And there's also this, like, I think, like, 50-minute documentary directed by Scorsese called Italian American. That he made in the 70s. It would be just before he made Taxi Driver, like, around that time. And there's, like, a scene in it where it's, like, it's just, like, basically him interviewing his parents about, like, their cultural heritage and their neighborhood in, like, Little Italy and stuff. And, like, you see her, like, it's all kind of set around her, like, making dinner and preparing dinner and then serving dinner. And, like, all excerpts of that documentary in this cookbook. This cookbook's been out of print for ages, but I spent, like, $200 just buying it because there was, like, one copy left on Amazon. I was like, I gotta buy this. And it's, like, such a sick book, but this short documentary is really good as well. But in the book, she gives away, like, all these recipes where she's like, oh, this is De Niro's favorite pizza. I would make it every time they were on set. He would always want it. He'd come over. This is the chicken that Francis Ford Coppola likes. And there's, like, the most mental fucking story in this cookbook, because it's, like, interviews with her. And she talks about, like, she's being interviewed by the co-author, and they're going, like, oh, can you tell us, like, where you would get the meat from and stuff? She's like, oh, I'd buy chickens from this place. Oh, the story there's so sad. This woman, she run the butcher shop after her husband was murdered by the mafia. And it was wrong. They killed the wrong guy. It wasn't meant to be him. But then she had to take over the business. And, like, this isn't a fucking cookbook, but it's Martin Scorsese's Mum. So it's the only cookbook with, like, a mob hit in the middle of it. It's, like, incredible. If you can find it. If not, I'm going to, like, scan it and put a PDF up one day. So, but Scorsese knows his food. He knows his food, and he, like, makes it. It's, like, always part of the character when it's involved like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, even, like, in his most recent movie, you know, De Niro's character plays he's not a butcher, but he's a, you know, a meat delivery guy. In Thingo,
the
movie
that
I can't remember. The Irishman.
Yeah,
Irishman,
and they even have, like, a hot dog recipe in that movie as well. There's a whole scene where he's like, "This is how freaking Al Pacino like his hot dog, okay? We're going to pour some beer over the top of it." So that's a good food movie too. And seeing, like, them, like, eat the bread with the oil and the red wine, stunning stuff.
Yeah.
The guy he has, like, there's the steak scene in Raging Bull. There's the argument over blueberry muffins in Casino. Like, he always has, like, very kind of, like, notable food scenes in his movies.
Oh, yeah. Even Taxi Driver, where he like has like the there's all that stuff about like sugar on bread, where Jodie Foster like has jam on toast and then she pours sugar on top, and then he has a bowl of bread and like pours brandy and sugar on top and just eats that as a meal. So strange. Yeah.
Les, what's one of your recommendations?
Well, we've spoken mostly about like either, you know, American food, European food movies. Mm. And I think like the most like quintessential Japanese food movie is Tempopo from 1985.
Ooh. Yes, great movie.
Because, I mean, I know that I'm sure there are countless movies about food made in, you know, Japan, China, Hong Kong. But they're really, really hard to find. I remember seeing that movie Au Revoir Taipei, which is like a light kind of like... Taiwanese comedy crime movie. Have you seen that, Alexi?
I don't know it, no.
All right, it's really great. It's got an amazing score. And the it's about like the son of a dumpling shop owner who's suddenly like thrust in the middle of like a crime caper. It's really, really sweet. There's some great scenes of him assembling dumplings and like just like that kind of like street cart culture. I would love to see way more of that in movies in general.
Absolutely.
And I've tried, like, you know, like, I've always looked for movies about, like, I wish there were more movies about, like, dumplings and noodles and things like that in general. There is a movie from Hong Kong called Dumplings. It's like a horror movie. Do you know about this
really,
one?
I've seen that. That's scary.
Absolutely terrifying. It's a creep. Do you know about this, Mitch?
No, I haven't seen that one.
So Dumplings is, it's directed by Fruit Chan, who did, like, a trilogy of horror movies. And basically this is about a dumpling maker who basically she performs a black market abortion, then turns the fetus into dumplings. And it's about her. Yeah.
Dude, Mitch just started drooling. What the hell? he started so writing down like as if he started writing a recipe for something.
He was writing for the recipe. Yeah, yeah.
He said, "I just looked down at the sheet. It says like baby calzones. What the hell?"
But look, as terrifying as that is, it's nowhere near as scary as the direct to Netflix Jennifer Aniston movie Dumplin' from last year. Never watch that. It's so fucking bad.
I didn't even see that one.
Oh my god, man, it's so bad. It's like this like southern movie about this like larger girl who's the daughter of an ex beauty school pageant winner played by Jennifer Aniston, who wants to go against the norm and be inspired by her dead Dolly Parton loving auntie. And she enters a beauty pageant. It was a hideous, awful movie. Don't watch it. Don't watch Dumplin'.
Wow.
But definitely do watch Tempopo, which is, I said, a Japanese movie from 1985, starring Ken Watanabe. It's described as a ramen western. And I guess it's most famous for a scene in which a chef and a boy make late night omiraisu, which is a rice dish served like basically like fried rice served in with a very, very soft omelet on top of it. But it's such a wonderful movie with like there's a bunch of different plots going on. There's some incredible scenes in it.
It's kind of like a sketch movie as well. Yeah, it's kind of a sketch movie. It's really funny and weird, but it's got all like these little genre parodies in it. Like there's a Rocky training montage in there. There's scenes that are like gangster movie scenes kind of put in there. It's like one of those films that's like got full of all this like tonal dissonance, but it finds like harmony in it all, where it kind of comes together to make something really... really weird and interesting. I would like think that it's a really easy recommendation, something that anyone can really enjoy. You don't have to be like a film snob to go like, oh, look at this cool foreign film that explores food. It's like, no, it's like really, it's fun. It looks gorgeous. It's weird. It's funny. It's got great pace. Anyone can enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we spend so much time eating food from other cultures, so why not try and find movies about those foods, you know, from other cultures as well? I think it's currently on streaming on SBS, on demand.
Yeah, it might be. Cool. It is pretty easy to track down because it was a great Criterion Collection release of it, I think, a couple of years ago. So there's like a really beautiful restoration out there by Criterion, and it's worth investing in if it sounds interesting to you and you love to collect physical media like I do. This is
oh my god, look at that! That
Blu-ray Studios
cover art for that.
Yeah, well, come home to Blu-ray Studios, baby, and watch Tampopo with me. Yeah, the art is incredible for that box where it's like that gorgeous kind of pop arty ramen.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, I guess
I should, while we're talking about Japanese movies about food, I should just give a shout out to every single anime ever. Because no matter how lousy the story, voice acting, music, or anything is, there is always the most delicious looking food. A while ago, an anime studio made a bunch of advertisements for McDonald's, and Macca's has never looked better. Actually, I think it's you know the guy who made Your Name, his movie that came out last year. What was that one called again?
Not The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. That's the earlier.
No,
one,
that
right?
was before that. It came out last year. I'll figure it out in a minute. But a lot of scenes of that were set in McDonald's as well. And the food in there looked... Weathering With You, is that?
Yes.
Weathering With You had some amazing McDonald's scenes. Just like beautifully animated, average-looking cheeseburgers.
Wow. Yeah, I almost put like Ghibli movies on my list because I'm like...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I watched Spirited Away a couple of weeks ago and the food in that is fucking crazy good as well.
Yeah,
and then
dude,
I guess
trust me,
while
I'd
we're on
to
the...
a fucking pig if I was in that world, dude, I'd be gobbling all that shit up right now.
Yeah, and then while I guess the biggest hype thing at the moment from overseas cinema is Ramdon, which is sort of
of course
being blown Ramdon up from Parasite, how amazing Parasite is, and that's also a crazy good film movie. So if you're still sleeping on Parasite, just fucking watch it already.
Big time.
You want to burn through the rest of your list, Alexi?
Yeah, there's a few others I'd love to talk about. I just watched... I hadn't seen it before, but it popped up in like a lot of food movie lists. And it was like... It's an area of cinema that I haven't really explored as much. So I want to... I'm making the effort to try and watch more Indian cinema and more Bollywood cinema.
So Ratatouille?
Yeah.
Is that...
Ratatouille, dude. It is sick. Ratatouille would... Before we move into that, we can't not talk about Ratatouille because I think it... Like, there's other movies like Big Night and Babette's Feast and stuff that always come up. But I do think, like, Ratatouille is, like, the undisputed, like, greatest, like, food restaurant movie ever.
Mm.
Just that beautiful scene when the critic finally has that one bite of the Ratatouille at the end. And, he zooms back to the past and remembers his mum cooking it for him. And I think that is one of the greatest food moments in a movie. For sure.
It truly, and it's like such a distillation of like the way that food is thought about in art or in the way that food is written about in like in food criticism and stuff. It's such a beautiful, like just simple distillation of that idea. And just to understand like how moving food can be, how evoking of memory it can be, and how all encompassing it is. Like it's one of the food is the only piece of art that utilizes every sense, like every sense that you have. Touch, taste, smell, eyes, ears as well sometimes. I guess you can hear food, I guess.
Yeah, you can hear the sizzle of something cooking and something searing or, when you're cooking, sound is a big
rocks,
part
dude.
Of it. Pop rocks, popcorn, popping that corn.
Dude.
You need to pop some corn before you sit down to a movie, bro.
Exactly. So I think that Ratatouille is so good. And whenever people say it's like one of the lesser Pixar movies, I'm just like, dude, are you fucked in the head? Be honest with me. Are you fucked in the head? Because it's the best one. What do you think? Cars 2 is good? No. Fuck off, dude. You think Inside Out is good? No.
Fucking that bit at the end of Cars 2 where Mater drinks the petrol and he flashes back to when his mum used to feed him petrol.
But I can't say enough good things about Ratatouille. And Brad Garrett, dude, as the chef inside his head, everybody loves Brad Garrett in that one example.
Yep.
Brad Garrett's like actually has like a bunch of good Pixar roles. He's like one of the fish in Finding Dory, Finding Nemo.
Yeah, in both of them.
That's
probably.
It. Two. Yeah.
That's two. So
he's a great actor.
The guy's done three. You can't ask for more than that.
Go on, Alexi.
What were you going to talk about from India?
Oh, it's this movie called The Lunchbox, which is all about... like, especially as well, like, when talking about, like, food as an exploration of culture, I think that this one is really interesting because it kind of, like, explores through a really, like, a nice romantic lens the idea of those Indian lunchbox deliveries in the major cities where it's, like, someone will prepare food, it will be delivered to their partner or to someone else in the workforce. And it's all about that. It's like this really intricate system that nothing ever goes wrong. But in this movie, the stay-at-home mother prepares food for her husband, and it gets sent to another man played by Irfan Khan, who just passed away very recently. Great, one of the greats of Bollywood and world cinema as well, from Life of Pi, Jurassic World, from movies, from big blockbuster movies, but also from like many great classic films in India. He is the lead, and he's like this older widower, and he's not expecting a delivery of this food, and when he receives it, it kind of like gets him out of his funk, if you will, and he like eats the entire, like he eats all the food entirely. And so when the package is delivered back home and the woman expects her husband to have like barely eaten the food, to find it all clear, she's kind of shocked by it, and it kind of develops into this like love story where they start sending each other letters back and forth in the lunchbox as it comes and goes. And it's really, really like a very warm and moving movie with lots of beautiful like food shots, and the way they kind of talk about the food as kind of like evoking like emotion and showing passion and stuff through food. It's really quite like, it was one that I didn't have much expectation for, but just kind of chucking it on a whim because it was on SBS On Demand today. And just, I really, really enjoyed it because I'd love a good romance. And this is one that I hadn't seen anything quite like before, except for like The Lake House, where people like write letters back and forth to each other. But this is much better than that. I think it's, I would really give it like a good recommendation if you want like a nice
better than The Lake House. It doesn't get more complimentary than that.
Exactly. I want that on the fucking re-release Blu-ray.
Yeah, that'll be on the next Blu-ray. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, Alexi, I'm just going to go through the rest of your list now, and you can stop me if you want to add a few lines. But You've got City of Gold, Tampopo, Chef, Soul Kitchen.
Oh, Soul Kitchen's good. Soul Kitchen is a German movie by German-Turkish director Fatih Akim. It used to be on SBS On Demand. It's not there right now, but it's one of those ones that pops up a lot on that website. And it's about Fatih Akim's like this great Turkish German director who makes these really interesting movies. And this is kind of like his closest to more kind of mainstream, palatable family movie, if anything. But still kind of, it's not really a family movie. It's actually quite like adult oriented, but it's set in like the Greek diaspora in in Germany, and it's about like this Greek taverna that becomes like this kind of cool youthful restaurant, and making like really interesting like fun food, but it's all about like the kind of like this party restaurant. It's really good. I think that's a movie that I really, really enjoy. Awesome. Especially like good Greek food.
Yeah, dope. You've got A Touch of Spice.
That's another Greek food movie that's really... It's pretty good as well. It's like kind of like Cinema Paradiso, but with food. And the Greek title is Politiki Cuisina, which is means like food for the people, but also political cuisine. And it's all about the Greeks in Turkey that have to like leave Turkey and move back to Greece, like in the kind of destabilization of Asia Minor, which is like where my grandfather's family is from. And it's really, it's like a very nice movie. It's not anything crazy or anything like really out there. It's just like a very nice Cinema Paradiso style heartwarming movie about like history, the same way it really is so much like Cinema Paradiso. Like, if you like Cinema Paradiso, just watch Touch of Spice. And it's the same thing, good cool. food and Greek instead of Italian.
You've got Big Night, the classic mid-90s Stanley Tucci movie.
Mm-hmm. One of the best. That appears
on,
you know.
Yeah.
That's on and every list. So. Yeah, it's on SBS On Demand as well. Chuck it on. You'll love it.
Ratatouille is on here. Babette's Feast. Is that French movie, right? Yeah.
Danish. And that's got one of the best like dining scenes ever, and it's all about like this servant who like to show her gratitude for the people that took her in when she was a refugee, making one incredible meal for them, and it's all about like religion and talent and food. But this this one scene where she like makes like this 7-course meal from like a French fine dining restaurant for these very very simple living religious community. It's some of the best shit ever. And the way that this conversation is filmed, like around the table, it's like taught in film schools, like going like, hey, this is how you can unconventionally shoot something but still retain the geography of the room. That's Babette's Feast is really good, but it's a bit slow, so it's not like an easy recommendation.
Waitress is on here, the Kerry Russell movie from like the mid-90s. Yeah.
That's really good. It's a great rom-com when you've got some awesome pies that she makes in it.
The Trip.
Oh, yeah. The Trip, Michael Winterbottom, Steve Coogan, Rob Brydon, that whole trilogy where they go review restaurants in Italy. Is Italy? No, England is the first one, right? And then Italy.
Yeah, they do a
Spain.
Few, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah. I think they've done three of them. They're all really good.
The famous Michael Caine scenes.
Michael Caine off. Yeah,
yeah. Michael Caine, great.
Mike O'Kane.
We've got The Lunchbox, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Yeah, that's an Ang Lee film. That's some great food porn in that film. High recommendation. Mm.
Goodfellas, Italian American, Pitch. I've never heard of this one. What's Pitch?
Oh, Pitch. I put this in because this is something I always want to steal. It's a documentary by the guys that did Kenny vs. Spenny, which is like this weird one of my favorite comedy shows of all time. It's like this comedy docu-esque series where two guys like do competitions with each other, and this is a documentary they made before that where they've written some crappy script and they're trying to get like Al Pacino to read it and star in it. So it's a documentary about that process, but in the credits for that film, like the closing credits, Kenny Hotz, one of the filmmakers and stars of the movie, put his mum's hummus recipe as the credits scroll up. So it's just like, there's just like in the credits, it's got like the ingredients, it's got the entire recipe written out. I was all like, that is the coolest. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen in a movie. It's a great recipe. I tried it out. Yeah, it's the best.
The Godfather's on here.
Yeah, obviously, they give you, like, Clemenza gives you a whole recipe about how to make like a great pasta sauce. It's so good.
Looking for Ella Brandy, the Australian movie.
My favorite movie of all time, but I always try to like include Australian movies on the list, but I don't think Australia has made like a great food specific movie yet that I can just point to. Like, Australia has some of like the best food TV that's ever been, and so much like, and we've got such a great food scene here. Like, this show is a testament to that. But I think that I think Australian cinema is often very slow to catch up to things. And there have been some like food movies, like Love's Brother was one that I thought about, but that's like about coffee rather than like, you know, like food. And it's kind of like a lesser version of Big Night, I've always thought. But looking for Ala Brandi, that's like a part of the city that I grew up in and very similar to like the Greek community that I grew up in. And when they have the film begins and ends with them as an entire like big family, like make like fresh making pasta sauce and bottling it up. And I think that is like such a fucking authentic moment and such a great authentic food moment at like kind of exploring culture and like diasporic culture in particular and how it kind of can survive through food.
Yeah, cool. What about Australian pie or meat pie?
Yeah, meat pie, Australian pie. I love Ed Cavalier, and it's like a great riff on American Pie. I should have put American Pie on this list, dude.
No one should see Australian Pie. Avoid that at all costs.
It's one of the worst.
I can't even make it through the trailer, let alone the entire movie.
It's awful. No.
You've got Bedevil from 1993.
Bedevil has a really good food scene. It's Australian, indigenous-based horror film. Not even a horror film, but it's like a ghost story film. That's like an anthology of like three or four ghost stories from an indigenous perspective by the great Australian filmmaker and photographer Tracy Moffat. And there's great food scene in it where there's all these indigenous women that come together and like make like this huge banquet. And it's kind of like riffing on like kind of new cuisine meeting like indigenous cuisine. And it's like a very funny movie and funny scene, but like this, they like have like this cool spread. And it was one that came to mind straight away when I was trying to think of like great Australian food scenes. And also that movie doesn't get talked about enough. It's like one of my favorite Australian films ever. And it's been very rare and hard to find, but it's been doing like screening rounds in the last few years at Sydney Film Festival and Melbourne International Film Festival and screening seasons, like different screening, like retrospective seasons, especially in terms of like Australian film. So if you ever get a chance, put Bedevil on your list and it will turn up eventually somewhere near you.
Yeah, what about the scene in Stone Bros, where they hit a kangaroo with their car and then cook it and eat it? Pretty iconic Australian food.
I think Stone Bros is so underrated. I would really...
Yeah, me too. I actually really like it.
So good.
Just desperately trying to think of any food scene in a movie. Yeah.
That's how I was, like, Australian films. Like, Stone Bros would have been, like, third down, probably. But if you've never seen it, Stone Bros is, like, a sick Australian, like, weed road movie. It's so good.
What was the follow-up to Priscilla, Queen of the Desert? That insane movie with the big giant kangaroo at the end?
Oh God, I've got no idea.
No idea.
Leave it with me.
Hey Lexi, what about the sexiest food titled movie ever, Chocolat?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think
I've
seen Chocolat
since
it came out.
I don't even know
if it's about food or not. It is. It's like about a chocolate store, I believe. But I don't think I've ever seen it, but I remember it was like when it came out here, it was huge amongst like my parents. Like, I guess boomers were like, Chocolat, so sexy.
Yeah.
God, my parents probably fucked after watching that movie. Would have been one of the last goes, I reckon.
I just remember that the movie that I was trying to figure out was Welcome to Whoop Whoop. And it was directed by Stefan Elliott, who directed Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And it's insane. Yeah. I don't know if you ever get a chance to see it. There's a few weird food scenes in it. One of the... I think Susie Porter plays a girl who's addicted to... she's horny, for one. But also she's addicted to cherry ripes. That is... Have you ever seen that, Alexi?
I'm familiar with it. I don't think I've ever actually, like... sat down and gone like, yes, I'm going to watch Welcome to Whoop Whoop.
I've never seen it.
But maybe I should. I've got to watch more Australian movies.
It's so bonkers, dude. It's such a weird movie.
I like Stephen Elliott. I think he's like made some really great films.
I'll give a couple of shout-outs to some wine-related stuff.
Because I've seen so many bad movies about wine. Oh, Sideways, obviously. That's a good one.
Sideways, Paul Giamatti, the GOAT. And then there's a couple of really good...
I disagree. He's not the GOAT. He's my least favorite actor. And you know
it. I just say that's a wind you up, bro.
But he is fucking great in
my
Sideways.
Favorite superhero, my favorite supervillain.
Yeah, doesn't he? Like, he has my name. He's called Alexi in that movie, and he wears an Adidas tracksuit in
Spider-Man. You modeled Spider-Man, yeah.
You modeled yourself off him.
I'm going to start calling you Rhino.
He's great in Sideways. Yeah, and there's two great docos that are both on Netflix, I'm pretty sure. One is called Som, which follows four American guys as they try and get their Master of Wine certificates. And it really just shows how wanky and batshit crazy sommeliers are. But it's really entertaining, and I say that in love and jest. And the other one is Sour Grapes, which is a really insane story. And you should really just watch
it.
It's really full of twists and turns, and you kind of sort of need to make up your own mind about it, but it's a really, really, really great watch. And then I guess a couple of pulpy ones, Julia and Julia, the dramatization of Julia Child is a really easy watch, and we sort of spoke about it via text before, but Catherine Zeta-Jones and Aaron Eckhart's No Reservations is like a nice pulpy, easy put it on and just sit there and enjoy it kind of one as well.
Yeah. And that's a remake of a German movie called Mostly Martha, which is also, I think those are both really good, especially just if you want to watch a really nice movie and see some really beautiful food. And I remember in No Reservations there, I remember there was like something about they had an Australian wine, and it was always stood out to me as very curious. And I think that they're involved in making the movie somehow.
Bit of sponsorship.
I hope so. We got to get those Aussie wines out there.
There's one that I was expecting to see on your list, Alexi, because I know it's a movie that you didn't love at first, but then I think it's one of your favorites by this director, by P.T. Anderson. His most recent movie, The Phantom Thread. Just Phantom Thread. Have you seen that, Mitch?
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. Unbelievable movie about a dressmaker. Played by Daniel Day-Lewis, but a surprising a lot of the movie, like there's an incredible scene of him. He meets the love of his life while ordering a very elaborate English breakfast, and cooking and food plays such a massive part in that movie. In fact, it is kind of like the big finale is centered around it.
Some Farage movie too.
Yes.
That's one that I wish I put in. I thought about it and then I didn't because I was like, oh, maybe more kind of like where it's all about food. But it is all about food. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, maybe my least favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie, but I still like go 5 stars. But then since I'm like, this is his best movie. It's my absolute favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie. I've seen it like 5 times in the last like 3 years. I adore that film.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's so great. I could just watch him order food, and like, you know, when he's talking about like when he's feeling a bit naughty, I don't know what the line is, but he's like, you know, about getting cream on the side of his pancakes or some shit.
Yeah,
it's the best.
And I remember he like talks about a Welsh rabbit, which is like some sort of toast thing.
Welsh rabbit.
That's what it is. I thought rabbit this whole time.
So lots of great movies that everyone should definitely check out. What are some clunkers that we should avoid? Because you just triggered my memory, Mitch, talking about wine movies. And the reason that I even thought about having this discussion with Alexi is a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were scrolling through Netflix looking for a movie to watch. And we were transfixed by a little trailer for a movie called Uncorked, which is a movie that came out this year, directed by Prentice Penny, about the son of a barbecue pit master run by like a black family for years and years, who also wants to become a sommelier, and it's about his struggle to be a somm, even though he has less money than everyone else doing the course. He wants to be a master sommelier. He has an incredible knowledge of wine, but his pit master barbecue loving father refuses to acknowledge that his son is a genius. It's an extremely frustrating movie. It had so much potential. I actually thought it was going to be a really good movie. Like 10 minutes in, all the music was made by Hit Boy, Mitch.
Wow.
So it's like this, like, yeah, I think it is cool. Just as an oddity. Put it on. I don't know anyone else that's watched it. I don't think it's a good movie by any means. Prentice Penny, I think it did Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Happy. Happy Endings. It's like, so he's a background in like, you know, pretty decent sitcom director direction. And there's definitely moments of greatness in this movie, especially it's just so well researched when it comes to barbecue and wine. And those elements are so good. It's just the story, I think, is lacking. Even the direction is really good. I just think the story just really lets the movie down in a big way, to the point where I was so frustrated with it. But, like, you know, when you do see those elements that are so well researched, like, you know, I'm such a massive fan of barbecue and the amount of love and practice that goes into, like, doing that well, and that really comes through in the movie. That was a big letdown. And then another movie from maybe about 10 years ago, Bottle Shock.
Alan Rickman, right?
Alan Rickman, yeah. And it's based on, like, an amazing story about basically the first year that a non-French wine won this big wine competition in 1976, a Californian wine won, and it was a massive upset. And the cast is really good. It's like Alan Rickman, Chris Pine, Bill Pullman. It's directed by Randall Miller, who did nothing else that good, so why would you expect this to be good? But it's not good. It's a really, like, again, it's an unbelievable story, and they put all this shitty romance in it, just so unnecessarily.
Yeah, right. What about Waiting, Ryan Reynolds, Justin Long?
Yeah.
Is Andy Miller, is it the one with Andy Milonakis in it? No.
Yeah.
Isn't Andy Milonakis?
Possibly. And then the Mexican actor who's that guy, he's in so much stuff, I can't remember his name. He's fucking hilarious in it too. What's his name?
Yeah, man, Andy Milonakis is in that forever.
David Koechner. Oh, the cast is amazing.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal cast.
Yeah, cult favorite. Yeah,
Dane Cook, Louis Guzman.
Louis Guzman.
Yeah,
I love Louis Guzman. Yeah, he's
the head chef.
Yeah.
Shit, man. I saw this long, long ago, and I was wasted out of my mind. I can't remember anything from this.
You've got to watch.
That's definitely the way to see it.
Still Waiting.
Let me just say,
you've got to watch
Still
Waiting.
It has not aged well.
So funny to think about, like, now that Ryan Reynolds is, like, probably best known for, like, being in, like, the highest earning gross out comedy action movie. But, like, it still seems like such a massive detective. But, like, thinking back when he was, like, Van Wilder Party Liaison, it just seems like another world. But they're not very far removed from each other.
And now he's the biggest comedian of all time, Deadpool.
Yeah, dude, Deadpool, funniest comic ever, alive.
He also fucking ruined Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, yeah.
You reckon he... I didn't mind him in Hobbs and Shaw.
I hated Hobbs and Shaw, bro.
I didn't like Hobbs and Shaw as a movie.
That's why I didn't watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Fast and Furious franchise. Yeah. Fast and Furious franchise. Great, great barbecue scenes. Great barbecue scenes in those movies.
The first Never Burn the Steaks. The best tuna sandwich. Nobody comes in for the tuna sandwich.
Oh man, that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut. That's where it all started. Damn tuna sandwich.
And of course, pairing every meal with the best beverage on earth, a Corona.
Corona. You can
buy some Coronas. You got to support Corona right now. I think they might be doing it tougher than anyone.
Oh man, I live around the corner from a Hog's Breath Cafe or whatever whatever they're called now. What are they called now?
No bragging, jeez.
But they have this massive sign out the front of their, like, their Hogs Australia's Steakhouse is what it's called in Australia.
Oh, God,
it used to be called Hogs Breath Cafe, this shitty chain of steakhouses. And at the front, like, as big as their logo, it's just a massive sign. And you can tell that they're closed and haven't been open for, like, you know, months now. Mm. It just says $5 Coronas every night of the week.
That's great.
What about Burnt with Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, man, this is one that I remember seeing the cinema and being excited about. I was like, because I love food movies. Chef had just happened, and I was like, it really got me back into, like, the idea of, like, oh, food movies are the best. You can make such great stories about them. And Burnt is so, to me, it's so lame because it's trying to be like that cool, like, Anthony Bourdain punk rock kitchen thing. and having like Bradley Cooper as like this like recovering addict. But it's very by the numbers. I don't think the food is that exciting in it either, because like all the food just is like they make whatever and then they chuck a fried egg on top. So it just kind of seemed like instantly very dated as soon as it came out. But Bradley Cooper has been trying to make like something like this forever. There was a TV series that no one remembers. I reckon I'm the only one in the world that fucking remembers it. It's a TV show. It's a sitcom from like the mid-2000s called Kitchen Confidential, based on Anthony Bourdain's book.
Anthony Bourdain, yeah.
It's like an adaptation of that. And the character he plays is called Jack Bourdain. They couldn't call him Anthony for some reason. And he's like the head chef. And it's just like, it's so like, you know, I think he could make a great adaptation. I think one day someone will make a great adaptation of Kitchen Confidential as like a great kind of movie that can kind of live in the spirit of Anthony Bourdain and capture like that rock and roll and cinematic energy that was so important to him and to his writing and to his influence. But Kitchen Confidential is like this really just dull TV show with Bradley Cooper, and it's so sanitized for TV that it's like just like it's nothing. I've got a copy downloaded somewhere on like a hard drive. I'll put it in a Google Drive for you guys so you can just get a taste of what it is. Because it's, and Burnt is not too dissimilar. Burnt looks good, but I don't know. I don't think it captures anything authentic about it. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw it in cinema as well. The same sort of thing. I was like, you know, I like food movies and Bradley Cooper and blah, blah, blah. But like you said, it just tries a bit too hard, and it's too polished in a way. Like working in a kitchen is never polished.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So it doesn't really translate. And the food is, like you said, is also very gimmicky. And the food design and consultation was done by Marcus Waring, who's like a 2-star Michelin chef in London. But his food is very pretentious and, you know, like, it is very much what's on the plate, and you look at it and it doesn't really look appetizing, and, you know, it's not the kind of food that I would want to eat, and it probably is past its prime and that kind of thing. And it's, so it's not really, because it's so cold in a way, you can't really aspire to it and connect with it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, he's like,
so
he wants all the, he wants all the best things and he needs all the best equipment and la la la. And then he doesn't get them, so he can really spur on and find his niche and fucking yada yada. But it's also sanitized and it's not, you just can't connect with it, because it's, they try to make it real because he's got drug problems and this and that, but it's, there's just no soul or any substance to it.
It feels
and
like,
yeah, you look at the food and it's just
too late, because everyone knows what, like, it's so more well known, like what the behind the scenes in like kitchens are like now, because it's like such a big part of like our entertainment culture now is like food. It is like cooking shows. It is shows like about restaurants and like the process of that. And to like kind of have like this chef that is so like this trying to create like this badass character out of a chef, I don't think it like works, because it becomes like a cliche now where something like chef, where it's like, it's very like human, and he's like a food nerd rather than like, oh, a cool punk rock guy. Like, yeah, he's got the cool tattoos and stuff, and he like is like a cool swearing guy in the kitchen that gets along with his staff, but it doesn't have like that pretentiousness of going like, here is our vision of it. It's got an authenticity to it where I don't think Burnt has that.
Yeah, it's pretentious. It's pretentious. I still enjoyed it in the cinema, but I've never revisited it.
Yeah. And I'm sorry shat on it for so long. I'm so sorry, Burnt, if you're listening out there. I'm so sorry.
That's it for our big list of what to and what to not watch when you are after some food movies. I've got actually like, I want to watch like 6 of them now. So
yeah, me too. I'm like, I know what I'm going to do tonight. Just bang through a couple.
Yeah.
Man, it was so fun. If anyone like has any suggestions out there as well, let us know, because
exactly, please.
Always on the hunt for exactly this thing.
Did you work out our email yet, Levs?
I was just going to say I meant to work out what our email is. I didn't check it. Oh yeah, I did. It's the themitchinpodcast@gmail.com. I'm just checking now. Have we got any heroes? Someone has is trying to make us get some random person as a guest.
Cool.
Great. Also, someone called Ghulam is offering us a new iPhone 11 Pro for only $2.
Oh, snap, dude. I actually send that one over to me as well.
Alpha Catering was saying limited stock, bulk hand sanitizer, ooh, and sneeze guards.
Whoa. Timely.
So, look, it's a real good time over at our Gmail right now. If you want to email us some perfume movies that you like, especially if you listen to me say that there's not enough movies from Asia about noodles and dumplings, and you're like, fuck you, Levins, you idiot. Please let me know what we should watch. We're going to try and do an episode of The Mitchin every 2 weeks or so, and we would love to get Alexi back on the regular to talk about food in places
in general.
Besides
you
restaurants.
Can tell us about your pies next time, Lex.
Yeah, dude.
You can share some recipes.
Well, there's one special ingredient that I won't reveal just yet. But you can see the recipe. The recipe is available in the Book of Love.
If you want to check out Alexi's podcast, and you should, they're all on Sans Pants Radio, and they are Total Reboot. There's also Mike Check, which is a podcast all about the films of Mike Myers. And he's recently made a new podcast appearance on Conan O'Brien's podcast. So I imagine you're going to be doing an episode all about that very soon.
Who knows? We might just have to. We might have
Dude,
to.
Dude, Austin Powers.
It's the rules, mate. It's the
Austin
rules
Powers
of
should
universe.
Have been on our list.
Yeah.
Austin Powers, the only movie where you see food covering people's genitalia.
Yeah, dude, that final scene. Such good stuff.
That fat bastard ate a baby. That's food.
Yeah, dude, he wants his baby back ribs. But both of you guys have been on Total Reboot, and they're two of my favorite episodes, so check them out. Levins, we had on Hellboy, which is a movie that you and I do not give a shit about, so it's a very fun episode.
It's a weird one to recommend. Listen to us be lukewarm on something for an hour and a half.
It's one of the ones I was like, God, that's so funny. The apathy that we had for that movie.
Because that was one that you got people to vote on to do, right?
Yeah. We had such a massive fan base. We'll still
and
think
I
that
was,
movie's really good.
I love Total Reboot so much, and I've never been more happy that you were so annoyed that you had to watch a movie and do a whole podcast about it. It was so fucking good. It made the whole podcast for me.
I remember I was angry at the fans, where I was just like, dude, you should have voted for Dumbo. I got so much stuff to talk about Dumbo with, and no one voted for Dumbo.
You were so mad. It was so good.
And then I got people sending me like apologies, like, dude, I didn't know that you liked Dumbo so much. I was like, I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I've got more to say. But also the chef episode that we did with Mitch is, that's real fun. Talk about
It's excellent.
John Favreau so much. Love Johnny Favreau.
It's been very cute watching you two become close friends over the last couple of years.
Alexi's my favorite person. He's definitely taken over your spot, Levs.
Yes.
He has ascended the ranks.
Pressure was getting to me, bro.
Friendship ended with Levins. My new best friend is Lexi.
Yes, I love both of you. Mitch, you know how much I love you. I adore you so much. Levins, you know, I feel guilty saying how much I love Mitch, but I adore you too.
So if you want to make sure, if you haven't got anything to eat this week, why don't you eat some pasta from Cicciabella?
Please.
The details from there. I'm going to try and pick up some. I'm going to be in the city this weekend, so I might try and pick some up.
Oh,
and
hell yeah.
Let everyone know how it is.
Do
a teardown review next episode.
Yeah, do it.
Of course, I've got other podcasts, Hey Fam, Serious Issues, and All the Small Games. They're all on Sans Pants Radio, alongside a bunch of other great podcasts, so go check it out. I have a Patreon for my new mixtape service, which has been going really, really well over the last few weeks. And I just want to give a special shout out to it's like 20 chefs are now like supporting me on there.
Yeah.
Some of them
are
for way too much money. Shouts to Passy.
I am not one of them, sorry.
Everyone already knows that, Mitch. I send Mitch links afterwards. I know you're not going to support me. Here's just the link to the download.
Dude, can I get those links too?
Yeah, sure, no worries.
Yes, yes.
I bet you'd support each other's Patreons.
Dude, Mitch does support the Total Reboot Patreon. I hate to break it to you.
That's so good.
No, to be fair, you granted me access to the Total Reboot Patreon after I was a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I'm a classic. Can I get on the door tonight, Levs?
Yeah. I reckon I've put Mitch on the door for more parties than anyone else in the world.
And I come to less of them than anybody else.
Yeah,
well.
Totally. You shout out to like four of them. No, you've been way more than anyone else. Also going to give a shout out to Vic from Lee Ho Fook, who is a recent sign up. And now he's asked me to do all of his playlists for his restaurant playlist, which is real cool.
Oh,
if anyone
amazing.
Wants me to do that,
oh, awesome.
Get in amazing. Touch. We are at themitchinpodcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with us via that. Or our online presences, Mitch is at Instakrill or Krillin on the Run on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Levdog, LevDawg on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon. And Alexi, what are you, man?
This is Alexi on Twitter and Instagram. And bro, I go off on both of them.
And Letterboxd. Well, I'll put the link to your Letterboxd list in the show notes. But follow Alexi on there, man.
I'm at This Is Alexi on Letterboxd as well, which is actually probably the social media I'm most active on, especially these days where I'm fucking logging 3 movies a day and stuff.
But please awesome. Give us stuff to talk about because we're going to run out of shit real quick. So tell us what you want to say.
No, I've got some fun things. I'm going to make you like rank pasta out of fuckability or something.
Oh, I would love to do that. I would love to do that. Let's do it.
Which pasta would Mitch like to fuck most?
I actually got sent an amazing Twitter thread. Our friend Vic Hula sent me this thing on Twitter that's a ranking of dried pasta shapes, and it's fucking phenomenal.
But it's all the obscure ones, right?
Yes, all the obscure ones. Fucking phenomenal. It's such a good thread.
Next episode of The Mitchin is going to be all about pasta. How about that?
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks so much for listening to this one. Thanks to Alexi, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye, Alexi.
Ciao.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.